Rule number 20. Don't start what you can't finish. The bus ride from Honey Pot Prairie wasn't anything like the bus to Honey Pot Prairie. No one threw up. No one was mean or sang songs about other people. No one talked at all. Hardly. People seemed to be really worn out. A few people, like Mary Kay and Erica, cried. Lots of people, like Rosemary and Joey, slept. When we got to Walnut Knolls Elementary and the kids from there started getting off the bus, some people, okay, Cheyenne, acted as if their hearts were breaking and they were never going to recover. "Text me!" Cheyenne screamed out the window at Brittany and Lauren and Paige. "We will!" they all screamed back. "They were just so nice," Cheyenne said to M and D, who agreed. It is amazing how short some people's memories are, and how long other people's are. Mary Kay wasn't speaking to me again because I hadn't told her how big the bee sting on her chin really was. But that was okay. I'm pretty used to Mary Kay not speaking to me by now. I knew she'd get over being mad. Someday. "Keep it real," Scott Stampley told Joey Fields, who barked sleepily at him. Scott didn't say anything to Cheyenne as he walked off the bus, even though she said, "Bye, Scott," in a very drippy manner that made me want to gag. But he said, "Smell you later, Stinkle," to me, and tugged very hard on one of my braids as he went by, then winked. Sophie told me this was an unequivocal sign that he liked me. "I don't think so," I said, rubbing my head. "Oh, no," Sophie said. "I can guarantee it." But pulling a girl's hair is not the same as throwing rocks at her classroom window and then sending her roses and giving her a diamond engagement ring. So if Scott likes me, he has a lot to learn. As we all walked home from school after the bus let us off, I told Sophie, Erica, and Caroline what I'd learned about Mrs. Hunter and her fiancé. They were completely in awe of me, not to mention my superior detective skills. "He's going to work for the City Planning Commission," Sophie asked, wrinkling her nose. "That's so boring." "No, it's not," Caroline said. "That's a very important place to work. Those people plan things for the city." "It would be more romantic if he was a doctor," Sophie said. "For sick children in a country where they don't have running water?" "But he's not," Caroline said. "He works for the City Planning Commission. That's a good job, too. Not every job has to be romantic. Maybe he has other qualities. We know he's funny. Maybe he bakes bread." "Did she say he bakes bread?" "No," I said. "But he's probably smart if he works for the City Planning Commission. I bet he can learn how if Master Baker Sean learned how." We reached the stop sign where we always separate to go to our different streets. Caroline and Sophie to theirs, and me and Erica to ours. "Oh my gosh," Sophie said. "I just remembered, Allie. I hope Musy is all right." I felt a twist of nervousness in my stomach. I couldn't believe, in all the excitement about the field trip, I'd sort of forgotten about Musy. "I hope so, too," I said, not really holding out much hope. "He will be," Caroline said, handing me the nightgown I'd loaned her. "He's a good cat." "But being a good cat doesn't have anything to do with not being walled alive in someone's house." I knew she was just trying to make me feel better. That's what friends do for one another. "Thanks," I said, and gave her, then Sophie, hugs goodbye. When Erica and I got closer to my house, I could see the A-plus roofing van in the driveway and the men on top of the roof. "Well," Erica said, "that's a good sign." "Why?" I asked. "Well, if there was something wrong with Musy, your mom and dad probably would have sent A-plus roofing home." I didn't think Erica knew my mom and dad very well, but I said, "You're probably right." "Today was such a good day," Erica said with a happy sigh. "There's no way anything bad could have happened to Musy to ruin it." I thought Erica was maybe suffering from field trip overload, but I hugged her goodbye in my front yard anyway, gave her mom's apron back, and said, "I'm sure you're right," and tried to believe that she was right all the way up the stairs to the front porch and through my front door, ignoring the fact that we're supposed to use the side door through the mudroom because you can get upstairs much faster if you go through the front door of my house. Hi, I'm home! I yelled very fast, throwing my backpack down at the bottom of the stairs, then taking the steps two at a time to the second floor. Hi, honey! I heard Mom calling from somewhere in the house. How was your field trip? Did you have a nice time? Oh, Allie, don't leave your things spilled all over the bottom of the stairs. I built you kids those nice cubbies in the mudroom for you to put your things in. Why won't you ever? But I had already burst into Mark's room and flung myself onto the floor of his closet, my face smushed in front of the hole in the wall. Musy, I called. Oh, Musy, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. He had to come out, I told myself. He just had to. Everything else had worked out. Joey, Mrs. Hunter, Mary Kay, well, sort of. Even Brittany and Cheyenne had worked out their differences. And during that wigwam thing with Mistress Carol, I'd felt like, well, I'd sort of felt like neither of them were all that bad at heart once you got to know them. And they stopped playing their stupid games and started acting normal for a change. So why couldn't this one thing work out too? Allie, Mom said from the doorway. She didn't look too happy. Mom, I said. There were tears in my eyes. I had held them in all day and not cried once. Well, except when Scott had yanked on my braid so hard, even though I'd really wanted to cry a couple of times. But now I just couldn't hold my tears in any longer. I can't go put my backpack away right now, I said. I have to get Musy out of the wall. I know you're very disappointed in me because I've been so irresponsible, but I was actually very responsible today on that field trip. You can ask Mrs. Hunter if you don't believe me. Mary Kay got stung by a bee, and I'm the only one who stuck by her, even though everyone else ran away because they were afraid they might get stung. I walked her to the office and sat with her and everything, and you know I can't stand Mary Kay. And I didn't trade to get off the team I got assigned because I didn't want to leave Joey Fields alone when everyone was picking on him, even though I don't even like Joey Fields. I was crying when I said all this. And it's okay because I don't even want a cell phone anymore. All I want is for Musy to be out of the wall, okay? That's all I want. Well, Mom said, in that case, you might want to go see what's sitting on your bed. I just stared up at her through my tears. What? I asked. Why? Go look, Mom said, and held Mark's bedroom door open for me. Not sure what to expect, I got up off the floor and walked past Mom, out of Mark's bedroom, and across the hall to mine. There, sitting on my bed, licking himself, sat Musy. I screamed with happiness and ran to pick him up. I kissed him all over, even though he was covered in chips of wood and tiny snail shells and pieces of something I'm pretty sure were the same mushrooms that had been all over Kevin when he'd crawled out of the hole. And truthfully, Musy didn't seem that glad to see me. He kept making grunting noises and even growling a little because I was squeezing him so tightly. I didn't care. I was just so happy to have him back from his walkabout. When did he come out? I asked Mom tearfully. Only now, they were tears of happiness. A little while ago, she said. I think he knew it was time for you to come home from school, so he came out to wait for you. When she said this, I had to give Musy more kisses. He was the best cat ever, even if he'd been very, very naughty. I told Mark to keep his door shut from now on, she said, to keep Musy out until we can get the wall repaired. Thanks, Mom, I said, putting Musy down, because even though I wanted to go on squeezing him, he was growling pretty unhappily. Plus, he was really very dirty from being inside the hole. So, Mom said, I guess after all that, I don't even have to ask how Honey Pop Prairie was. That bad, huh? I thought about it. It wasn't as fun as the Children's Museum would have been, I said finally, but I think I learned a lot of new stuff. Like, did you know that President Washington kept a book of rules when he was a kid? Mrs. Hunter made a copy of them and gave it to me as a reward for sitting with Mary Kay after she got stung by the bee. Mom smiled. Well, she said, that was nice of her. But learning new stuff is actually the point of field trips, Allie. I had never thought about it this way before. I had sort of always thought of field trips as just being about having fun. Yeah, I said. I guess it sort of is. Mom reached out and hugged me. Listen, she said, it sounds like you took on a lot of responsibility during this field trip. Yeah, I said, I really did. I felt a glimmer of hope. Was she going to? I still don't think you're quite old enough to handle a cell phone right now, she said. Aw, Mom, I said, my hopes crushed. But sixth grade is an awfully long way away, Mom said. What do you think about fifth grade? Fifth grade? Fifth grade was next year. Not even a year. Just one summer vacation away. Really? I asked, brightening. I can spend my money on a cell phone? Save your money, Mom said with a laugh. Dad and I will foot the bill. Now go put your backpack away in your cubby in the mudroom. My heart filled with happiness. I ran to go do what she'd asked. I couldn't believe my good fortune. But later, as I was pinning President Washington's rules to my bulletin board, where I'd be sure to see them first thing every morning and last thing every night, I realized I shouldn't have been so surprised by how well everything had turned out. Especially when I noticed rule the 82nd. Undertake not what you cannot perform, but be careful to keep your promise. Because this was exactly what I'd done. I'd made a promise to myself the night before that if Musy turned out to be okay, I wouldn't complain anymore, or at least not as much. I'd also promised not to be irresponsible. And today, during the field trip, I'd been super responsible. And look what had happened. Don't start what you can't finish. Always keep your promises. And okay, true, I still might complain sometimes, and I might even still be irresponsible. But that's why I had the rules, to remind me when I messed up. Maybe, I thought to myself, old things like wigwams, one-room schoolhouses, interactive history museums, and President Washington's rules weren't so bad after all. Without them, we wouldn't know how good we have it in the present. Like, if I wasn't friends with Mary Kay, I wouldn't appreciate what great friends I have in Erica, Caroline, and Sophie. And if I didn't have the Ally of the past to compare myself to, I wouldn't know how great the new and improved Ally is. The truth was, I decided that I liked her already.